Hello and welcome to That Sports Gamer Show, episode number 42. As always, I'm your host, TJ Lowerman, and alongside me is my co-host, Scott Binns.
Oh god, the lights just went out.
Don't say that.
Why not? Oh yeah, I suppose you're buried under like 3 feet of snow.
Yeah, I have 16 inches. And also under snow, none other than Press Row Podcast's Rich Grisham.
Hey, hey, what's happening?
Hey, Rich, great to have you back.
Good to be here. Love being on the show.
Guys, great news. Episode number 42, this April 12th, 2013, the movie 42 is coming out. It's an upcoming biographical? That's a word. It's an upcoming biographical film about the life of baseball player Jackie Robinson.
He was pretty good, from what I remember.
That's what I heard. Harrison Ford plays Branch Rickey.
It's better than him playing Jackie Robinson.
Or Indiana Jones. That's terrible. All right, guys. Well, we'll talk about baseball later. All right, how's that sound?
Perfect.
What should we start off with? Scott Binns. What have you been playing? Oh, see? We haven't done that in a while. Also, the Ravens won the Super Bowl.
Well, let's talk about the Super Bowl really quick.
All right, it happened. They won.
Yeah.
Moving right along.
No. So, TJ, you were telling me before we started recording you didn't really watch much of the game.
I had a hardcore game of Monopoly going on, so.
Oh, I should have been there.
I watched, I was there for the game. And I lost to Monopoly. I was pretty upset.
Oh, so the game was on in the background.
Yeah. I got to see the blackout and that chick thing. And that dude have a record-setting kick return. And then have a record tying kick return all in the same play, which was kind of weird.
That is kind of funny.
But
I'm just glad the game evened up at the end. It was actually an exciting finish.
It was a great game. I mean, I had absolutely no rooting interest in it whatsoever as a fan. And I also typically will have some sort of wager, however meager on the game. Didn't even have that either. But I still found myself, really, really into the game, in the last few minutes. So I thought it was a great show. Great game put on by both teams.
Yeah, thank God for that power outage.
Yeah. Without that, it may have just stayed really boring.
It's actually great because I got to put my son to bed and come back downstairs and they still hadn't started playing again. So it worked out perfectly. So I appreciate that.
Rich, thank you for reminding me that Corey Andres owes me a copy of Avatar Football.
I'm not quite sure how I got from here to there, but sure.
That was my only bet on the Super Bowl. Was a copy of Avatar Football to whoever won.
Yeah, it was weird because this year is the first year I had like not even like a numbers pool from work or anything. I somehow it wasn't a decision I made; it just sort of happened. Mm-hmm. I'm like, wow, I got nothing on this game anywhere. It's weird.
That was the most fun part of the game for me was listening to my uncle. He had like a numbers like 0 and 7 pool. Ooh. And he's sitting here thinking like, oh, someone's going to get a safety and screw it up. And the game just didn't work out for him. And he thought, these are the best numbers I've ever had. And then I remember it was like one point, oh, where's that safety when I need it? and quick question to everybody, to you guys, favorite commercial?
Rich Grisham.
I don't know. I didn't really love many of them. The one that stands out isn't one that I liked, but it was the one where Bar Rafale is making out.
Oh,
Rich, you went there.
No. But listen, the reason that it stands out is because my son was still awake when that was on, he looked at me and said, "What are they doing?" I'm like, "Oh, nothing. Let's go to bed."
You make a pretty good point. You can't be the only person who had that experience.
Oh, I'm sure I wasn't.
Let's all thank GoDaddy for hosting this podcast. thatsportsgamer.com. I think there's some discount code that I could put a link to somewhere. Did you see the Clydesdale Budweiser one? With the horse, the guy trained, and at the end the horse comes back to him? No.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got a little teary-eyed.
I saw that one. It was nice.
What was weird was the first commercial after the game had started, which is typically the big, big, big one, was a very boring, normal Budweiser black something commercial. Like, really? That's the big one? So, like I said, not a lot stood out to me this year.
Yeah, I thought it was a weak year overall. But I did like the Oreo commercial with the fight in the library, and everyone's whispering throughout the whole thing. I thought that was hilarious.
Must have missed that one.
Actually, you know, it was a good one. I think it was like Tide or something, where the guy dropped a buffalo wing on his on his 49ers jersey, and ended up in like the face of Joe Montana.
Oh yeah, that was a good one too. The thing about these Super Bowl commercials is like you spend that commercial had to be like what, a minute long, and it's not until the last 10 seconds they get to the joke and you actually figure out what the commercial was for. And I don't remember what it was for. Other than it was for some laundry detergent or something.
That's why I think it was Tide. So if it wasn't, Tide has done a very good job of marketing to me over my last 28 years on this planet that I just assume it was them. there was one other one. Something. People. Oh, did you guys know, I'm going to say this because I'm drinking some of my SodaStream made water.
Wait, is that the SodaStream going off?
That was the bottle opening. Apparently, like, CBS wanted to ban the SodaStream commercial because it says that you don't need to buy Coke and Pepsi, and apparently Coke and Pepsi are, like, big payers of commercials.
I could see that.
Just saying. Love my SodaStream. At SodaStream on Twitter. Holler at him.
So, can we take a minute, and could you explain to me what SodaStream actually is?
You put water in a bottle, and then you put it in this contraption, and then you push this button down, and it shoots carbonated goodness inside of it.
But, like, is it just, like, soda water, or do you put flavors in it, or like, what's the deal?
Oh, yeah, they also... It's, you essentially end up with, is it ginger ale? No, you end up with seltzer water, and they sell flavors that you can put in. And they'll have funny names, like Dr. Pete and Mountain Mist.
All knockoff names?
Yeah.
I feel like we've had this discussion before.
We may have. I don't remember if we have, though. Now can we talk about video games? It's only been 7 minutes and approximately 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Scott, what have you been playing?
I just picked up Halo 4, like literally yesterday, in lieu of not going and visiting my girlfriend this weekend. So, just getting into the multiplayer and that, liking it, but yeah, as in most shooters, people are stupid, so.
I know, which is why you should be playing Black Ops with me. Rich Grisham, what are you playing?
I don't think that would be any better.
I'm playing a lot. I'll do a lightning round here. I'm on the very, very, very last episode, chapter, whatever, of Gravity Rush.
I still have to play that.
Which is fantastic. Not fantastic like it's one of the greatest games ever, just fantastic because of the depth of it and the art and the variety. It's one of those where the sum is greater than the part, so to speak, but a lot of fun and definitely worth it. I'm on episode 4 of The Walking Dead, which is particularly interesting, although very grim, which is why it's nice to then pop out of The Walking Dead and play New Super Mario Brothers on the Wii U, which is awesome, which I'm also playing with my son pretty much every night before he goes to bed. I love the ability for me to play co-op with the 5-year-old and to have it still be fun for both of us. It's astounding that Nintendo can somehow pull that off. It's unbelievable. And of course, I'm in the Madden League, in the Force Ring League, I'm 6-5 with the Eagles. I'm making quite a comeback, got a shot at the playoffs.
Can we not talk about the Madden League?
I'm moving right ahead. We just started a That Sports Gamer sponsored triple dribble NBA 2K13 league, and I am 5-2 in that one. And lastly, I'm also playing a single player career in NBA 2K13. I'm in the second year with a shooting guard who is incredibly selfish, does nothing but shoot 3-pointers, never assists, never rebounds. He is merely behind the lines, basically like Mark Price used to be. Just take the 3 and nothing else.
Interesting.
How's that going for you?
Oh, it's awesome. I love it.
Yeah, good to know that I'm sponsoring a basketball league I didn't know existed.
Yep. Yeah.
I was like, triple dribble doesn't really make any sense.
I thought you were going to talk about the reboot of the NHL league, but
well, that's starting, I think, Monday. Yeah, is when season two starts, right?
Yeah, as soon as we get everybody signed up.
I had a great run, but man, the Bruins just I can't believe I won two games in the Eastern Conference Finals, because that's a guy, you guys know, when you play a guy who is clearly much better than you are, who really understands how to play the game, it's humbling. And the guy who plays the Bruins, not only did he make several trades to build up his team to an unbelievable level, he's got like Claude Giroux in addition to, you know, Chara and all the other guys.
Have we disabled trades this time around?
Actually, you know what? There's actually no setting to turn off trades. It's just to turn off CPU trades.
Okay, yeah. So you can't trade with the CPU, and the CPU won't trade with themselves, I assume.
Right, but no one is now allowed to trade with anybody.
But I have a feeling he would still have beaten me, because he just knows how to control the puck. He knows how to make those dekes. He knows how to
triple
dekes.
He knows
how to play the game better. And so kudos to him. It was a great series. I did win two games, so I was kind of proud of myself that I was able to pull off two victories.
What's it, the Canucks and the Bruins in the finals now?
Yeah, and I don't know who won. I know they played four games.
Yeah, right? I know it's tied up. Yeah, it's tied up 2-2 right now. Supposedly they were finishing this weekend. We should probably find out about that at some point. I just sent him a tweet. Let's see what we find out. Maybe before the end of the game, we'll have some breaking news. And by game, I mean podcast.
But boy, that was a great year. Great season of NHL. Looking forward to the next one.
Yeah, even if it will be the same schedule.
That's fine.
Well, yeah. This time we have like 20 teams in it now, so.
Yeah, I know. That's crazy.
All thanks to Rich Grisham.
Hey, wouldn't be here if it weren't for you.
And I wouldn't be here if it weren't for you.
Whoa.
Mind blown.
Yeah.
So how are any of us here? I'm confused.
I had to think about that one for a minute. Well, technically, it's all Jeff Solomon's fault. That's the way I see it. Hey, guys. You guys ever get out to go golfing?
Oh, God. Here we go again.
Oh, yeah. Scott's not buying this game. So, Rich, you ever go golfing in real life?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Rich, we should go golfing sometime.
I'm down for that. I mean, about 7 years ago, I broke my elbow and lost most of my ability to play the game. But when I was in my my younger days, I would get out on the course 2 or 3 times a week. I was always terrible, but, you know, I basically every 18 holes, I'd have like 3 or 4 pars, 3 or 4 bogeys, and then the rest would all be, you know, quadruple bogeys and worse.
Hey, man, better than me.
I wish I could golf.
Well, you frisbee golf, that counts.
Golf is really time consuming and really expensive, which for a guy like me these days, neither of those parts of the equation really works right now.
Yeah.
You know what does work though? Playing a golf video game.
Yes.
I'm gonna go play Tiger Woods 13 while you guys talk about this.
Yeah, you know what you know what you can do, Scott? You cannot have advanced shot shaping or an analog fade strike meter. How does that make you feel? A little bit less of a man, doesn't it?
I swear we've had these things in the past.
I mean, it's pretty much the same thing, but a little
they just changed updated. It.
But now there's going to be 5 different levels of, levels. 5 different difficulty levels. Amateur, pro, tour pro, tournament, and the all-new simulation.
I think you just titled this podcast.
Scott, if I remembered what I said, I would definitely consider that the title.
Levels of levels.
Hey. Yeah, all new simulation mode, which has no win speed. It just gives you the arrow, which, I mean, that's kind of a problem, right?
You should get some indication of, like, how hard the wind is blowing. I mean, not, like, exact miles per hour.
I hope it's, like, but the arrow is a different color.
Yeah, something like that. Like, you know, light wind, medium wind, strong wind, gusty wind, you know?
You can't zoom to aim anymore. And you don't see the swing meter.
And again, all this has been in the game. All this is... Keep going. I'm going to boot up Tiger 13 while we're doing this, and I'm going to turn all that... I'm going to go to this mode. I'll be right back.
Well, I mean, it's just tournament, and then you turn off more stuff.
Okay, fine.
That's how we played our country club last year.
We had some assists on, anyway.
I mean, some. There's going to be 24 unique swing animations. I mean, that's like something that they used to have, and then I guess they took out.
Can't say I noticed.
I remember used to having John Daly's swing. Now I just have default swing.
The only specific swing I remember is the Happy Gilmore swing.
And Pops Masterson. Beautiful swing on that man.
They need like the... Is it... who's the basketball player with a really bad golf swing?
Charles Barkley.
Thank you. That's what I was looking for. For some reason, I wanted to say Shaq, but I knew that wasn't right.
I don't think they can make clubs big enough for Shaq. Even though there's that car commercial where it's like, oh, this car is so roomy. No, it's not for Shaq. let's see. There's a Legends of the Majors mode. How does that make you feel? You're going to take a created golfer, start in 1873, and play through 6 different eras.
You're going to be really old by the time you get done with this.
I mean, 100 and...
He'll be Pops Map. He'll be Pops Masters.
Yes. You only end up being like 138. But I mean, that looks pretty cool. You get to play, let's see, Seve Ballesteros, Ben Hogan, Gary Player, Sam Snead, Lee Trevino, Arnold Palmer, Bobby Jones, Jack Nicklaus, and Woods. I assume that means Tiger Woods.
They're kind of taking the Jordan Challenge approach with this, aren't they?
It's a smart move, right? I mean, at this point, the game is so mature, the platform is so mature, you need to do something that will, that will offer something they haven't done before. And what I'm hoping is that the actual gameplay of doing this is different. In past challenges, you know, when you were playing older guys or legendary guys, it was the same exact game. What I'm hoping is that by whatever, you know, however they do it, that A, it's different, and B, it's fun using the older, the older equipment and, the different sort of rules of the game. So it's certainly a good idea. I'm hoping they pull it off.
And don't forget the true to its time visual presentation.
Sepia tone.
Yeah. Look, guys, I'm not going to lie. I'm very upset about this next little bit of news. They are removing the course mastery system.
Yeah, that's the people who I have spoken to about this. Nobody is anything other than really ticked off about it.
Yeah, and they make it seem like everybody was so pissed that it was in it last year.
Well, wasn't that they were pissed. Nobody knew what the heck it was.
Oh, I mean, they said, this is a quote from somewhere, but wherever I got it, it says, quote, a bitter criticism leveled at last year's Tiger Woods PGA Tour 13 was its disgraceful use of gougy content walls poorly disguised as DLC upgrades. Players were required to grind in order to access courses or take the option of paying EA for this content.
So now you don't get to grind anymore. You just have to pay.
And it was... I literally kept a notebook because I was trying to, unlock all this stuff. You only had to play a course like 6 times. And in our country club, you usually played a course twice. Plus, you figure you play it once or twice in your career mode. I mean, it wasn't really that hard.
I don't know. I seem to think it was more of a time suck than you seem to think it was. But I was glad the option was there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's all relative, right? I mean, you're talking to a guy who has played 110 single-player games of NBA 2K13 in the last 2 months. So to some people, that might sound extraordinary. But to me, it's just like, well, that's what I do when I'm, playing on the treadmill. So, I mean, for some people, there was no grind. That's just what they did. And the fact that they removed it altogether is... That's pretty shameful, frankly.
Yeah, it sounds to me like, oh, wait a minute. People don't have to pay for it, so they didn't.
Yeah.
We should fix that.
I mean...
So now here, you can pay for the same courses you've been paying for the past 5 years again.
Well,
that's the part that bugs me.
Well, this time they're going to give you 20 courses right off the bat, as opposed to the usual 16. So, be happy about that, Scott. 4 more courses. That you probably got last year with the collector's edition.
Probably.
Scott, extremely tired. Is that because you're not excited for some Madden NFL 25?
No, I am definitely excited for Madden NFL 25.
Yeah, man, let's hop in that DeLorean. Go to 2024 and find out what's going on.
All right, how long till the time travel jokes get old?
Then never. God, I just looked up. I've played 107 hours of Call of Duty Black Ops 2.
You haven't even had the game that long.
I know. And I haven't touched the story mode either. Yeah, so August 27th, Madden 25. And
mark your calendars.
Even better, much like ESPN, where football is an all-around-the-year thing, the Madden 25 cover vote starts in about 4 weeks.
Oh, my God.
Actually, March 11th.
And when is the NFL draft? Because that's when they always unveil the cover winner.
Well, I'll tell you
last
that.
Week of April. I don't know the exact date.
Because I'll be there again. I was there last year. It was actually really cool. Looking forward to that.
Awesome.
Ah, just rubbing our faces, Rich. It's cool.
Well, I mean...
All your real journalism cred.
Yeah.
It's all on Games Radar.
I mean, I could probably tell you when this draft is. The 1940s. Well, sometime in the 1940s.
I actually think Scott was right. It's probably the last week of April.
It starts Thursday, April 25th, and ends on Saturday, April 27th.
Perfect.
Good. Okay, so Scott kind of alluded to this last show. There's going to be two brackets, two tournament thingy things of 32 players. One side will be Legends, and the other side will be Active Stars. And then we take those 64, narrow them down to two, and those two will go head-to-head for the cover.
So it is a one-person cover.
Yeah. And there's only one game, since it's no special edition thing.
Yet.
Oh, there's got to be a special edition. It's a 25th anniversary.
You would think.
Yeah.
But unless it is. But it's just the game.
Maybe they'll just make the game the special edition.
Yeah. Like, that's why it's Madden NFL 25.
It could be.
That's why it's not Madden NFL 14 25th anniversary edition.
Do you think that, now, what kind of like anniversary content do you think they're going to have, if any?
I'd like to see them do that thing they did that other time.
Where they had the old version of the game with the current rosters?
That's exactly what I was talking about, Rich.
You know, it's amazing when I played that how quickly I stopped playing it.
I mean, it's good for like one or two games.
Not even. It's not even good for a half. It's like Tecmo Bowl. I could play Tecmo Bowl right now and be happy with it.
Mm-hmm.
But playing some of those middle era Genesis Maddens, which while they were great at the time, just do not hold up. I don't know if it's the perspective or what, but man, I remember distinctly just very quickly being like, oh my God, I got to turn this off and get back to the regular game.
Yeah. I think back to when I first started trying to play Madden games, which was in 96, 97, around the times the Packers, you know, were really good then. And I'm like, oh, the Packers are really good. I should play a football game because I can play as the Packers and they'll be really good. That was, you know, 13-year-old me's mindset. And I just didn't stick with them. I didn't think they were good games. I can look back at them now and see that they had a lot going for them in some respects, like for trying to get football into a video game. But I don't think they were very good. I don't think they got really good until PS2 era.
Yeah, I don't think I ever actually liked the Madden game before 03.
Yeah. Yeah, 03, 04 was like the, whoa, now we got something here.
Well, I think that just comes from, it's interesting because I remember distinctly, and of course I'm older than you guys, but when I was at college in the early 90s, the very first time I saw Madden on Genesis, I saw Madden and NHL like the same day because my buddy had a Genesis, and it was just like mind-blowing. So that's why, like at the time, it was so good because compared to Tecmo Bowl, or, you know, any of those like NES types games, it was so much better. But you know, for, like I said, for whatever reason, that doesn't hold up today. Whereas the, you know, the old type Tecmo Bowl games still do. I don't know why. It's kind of weird, but it does.
I'm going out on a limb and saying Game Day still holds up. Because that game,
I think
was
you're
amazing.
The only one on that limb.
I don't know. I would have
it
to
won't
play
break
it again.
Then.
I'd have to play it again. I might do that. I might track down a copy.
Scott, what will happen if the active player chosen is Aaron Rodgers and the legend chosen is Brett Favre?
The state of Wisconsin will spontaneously combust.
Just leave a crater in the middle of America?
I think it'd be- yeah, I don't know. That's about all I've got.
I think that would be funny to see.
I do too, actually.
Nothing else would get me excited for the final other than that. Or like two people from the same team going against each other.
Well, I don't know. I don't think we can make any speculation until we know who's actually in the vote.
Well, yeah, but you know, you bring up a good point. Like, what if you had Adrian Peterson versus, I don't know, Fran Tarkenton? I don't know who the legendary Viking would be, but you know, there's all sorts of opportunities. What if you have
Kaepernick and Joe Montana?
Well, yeah, or Matt Forte versus Walter Payton. You know, Joe Namath versus Darrell Revis. You know, there's all sorts of potential opportunity for those kinds of interesting same franchise head to head matchups to happen.
I think they should just go dual cover.
I'm calling it right now.
I do too. I do too. I thought when I first heard this, I didn't even read past like the third sentence. I just assumed it was a dual cover, a legend and a current player on the same cover.
Yeah, I mean, it worked for Madden 10 when they did the Super Bowl teams.
Yeah. Well, this comes straight out of the typed words of Pasta Padre. The winner of each bracket will go head to head for the honor.
All right.
Hey, I'm going to say this, but we're not going to talk about it. We'll bring it up later. They only talked about the release of the Xbox 360 and PS3 versions. So let that one seep in while we talk about some other stuff. Cool. Hey, baseball coming up real
now,
soon.
Now we're talking.
Yeah. I mean, I would be so much more excited if Rich Grisham let me come over and wire his PS3 so that we can get him in the league. Speaking of the league, that's sportsgamer.com/leagues. Click on the MLB 13 cover thing, fill out the form, and come play MLB 13 the show with us. We got like 14 teams. I am so pumped.
Can we do a World Baseball Classic? Because I could be down for something like that. There's no way I can be in a 162 or even 81 game baseball league.
Well, Rich Grisham, so funny you bring that up. Because why don't we just hold off on MLB 13 the show for a minute? Because I got great news. PlayAsia.com.
Is he furiously typing in the background?
March 20th, Pro Baseball Spirits 2013 will be in stock at play-asia.com. $88.90. Order now for free shipping.
And will I have the World Baseball Classic in it?
There is a chance, because the last time they did a World Baseball Classic, it was in the game.
Didn't MLB 2K 6 whatever have
six?
It?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was really good. Shit.
It was before my baseball game days.
That was actually very upsetting, because I bought that game just to play as the Lion King, Sung-Yap Lee, on Korea. And guess what? None of the international teams had real players.
Oh,
really? Unless they were major league real players.
Well, that makes sense, but it's a shame.
I know. But I believe Pro Baseball Spirits had the actual rights to the World Baseball Classic, so they had the real players in it. Which is terrible, because all the Americans look Asian, but it's still the Pro Baseball Classic. And a mode of the game that I could probably actually play without needing to know Japanese. $88.90 for a game. Do you know how soon I want to add this to my cart?
Well, if you go to Amazon through that sports game.
Yeah, it's not on Amazon. I know. I'm upset. It's $88.90.
I already tried that.
Yeah, and they also have the PS. What else they got? PSP, PS Vita versions for all varying prices.
Really? Vita? Now, I might be on that.
I mean. you know, I'm sure that's going to do something that won't work with anything then. Because you probably need a Japanese account or something, probably.
I want a Vita game so badly, I will go to Japan and get myself an account.
I mean, sure, you could do that.
Actually, I'm going to Japan in like 3 weeks. I might just be able to do that.
God, are you? Is it going to be? The game's not going to be out yet. Wait, is it going to be out? Rich, if it's going to be out, what do I got to do to get you the money to get me this game?
Oh, I'll get it for you. If I can walk into a store in Akihara and pick it up, I'll get it. I've done it before. A couple of people have said, can you get me this crazy game? What's interesting is when you go into those stores, you just like literally have to walk around and somebody wanted me to get like it was the Pokemon Black. So I picked that up. And the only reason I knew what it was because there were giant posters of it because it had just come out and wasn't out in the States yet. So long story short, of course, DJ, I will pick it up for you if it's there.
Scott, what's that wrestling game I need to get?
What?
The N64 one.
Virtual Pro Wrestling 2?
Oh my god, Rich, find Virtual Pro Wrestling 2.
actually, TJ, I know a store in Green Bay where I could go get that right now, assuming he hasn't sold it since the last time I've been there.
Yeah, but it's probably like $1 million.
50.
I mean, that's not bad. Oh, don't get me excited. What are we talking about? MLB 13, the show. Guys, great news. Rich Grisham. Well...
Yeah.
You don't care about this news, but...
Okay.
I wouldn't.
Rich Grisham's one of those guys that gets things. Combo deal for the MLB 13 PS3 and Vita version is back.
$80, baby. I'm on it.
Yep.
I think that's a good deal.
Hey, you know where you can get that deal exclusively currently?
Wait, let me guess. Go to thatsportsgamer.com, click on the Amazon link, and keep that sports gamer alive.
Yeah, you could do that. I'm sure GameStop will get this one. Yeah, so far it's only Amazon.
Yeah, I was looking as I'm thinking, I should pre-order this pretty soon. But no one has any pre-order deals except for GameStop, and they just give you XP in the game.
Yeah, and I think the Amazon one actually gives you XP, too.
Oh, does it?
Yeah, I mean, if you start talking, I can look it up.
All right, well, with Amazon not doing release day shipping, like 99-cent release day shipping anymore, that's It's like, maybe I got to go brick and mortar for this one.
Well, if you select 2-day shipping.
Yeah, but that's like $10.
Wait, neither of you guys are Amazon Prime people?
No, not
yet. I am not.
I need to get on.
I'm surprised by that.
I don't order that much from Amazon. Like, I do a lot of my games from there, but it's still not worth it for me.
But, I mean, if you watch television or movies.
Whoa. Yeah, if you watch television and movies, you can go to thatsportsgamer.com/Netflix for your 30-day free trial.
Well, you think we planned that and we did that. Awesome.
Yeah, but Amazon Prime gives you like a ridiculous free access to all sorts of that stuff. And music, too. Like it used to be, you needed to be a high-volume Amazon buyer to get the value out of it. But now it's kind of like
It's
PlayStation Plus, you know what I mean? It's just, you're just on there and you just get all this stuff that totally is worth it.
Yeah, even just for the video content, it's cheaper than competing services that may not be named. Because it comes out to like, $8 a month for Amazon Prime?
Yeah, something like that. Cheap. And that's just if you video. Then if you, buy the games and stuff, all the free shipping, next day shipping, again, it really does add up. And by the way, I do not work for Amazon.
Is it free 2-day shipping and then next day is like $1.99 or something like that?
Yeah, exactly. Just like I said, it's like PS Plus. Everything is a lot cheaper and you can get some really good deals and all that good stuff.
At any rate, the other thing that I always dislike is, okay, so the game's coming out. I get the game today. It's in the mail. It'll be here today. But it's, it could be here at 10 o'clock in the morning. It could be here at 2 o'clock at night. It might not come until 6 o'clock at night.
Well, you're one of those guys who's actually home during the day.
Yeah,
there's that.
Work at night, so for a guy like me who's lucky if I'm home at all until 8 p.m.
Yeah,
doesn't matter what time it shows up.
Whereas if actually I think the game comes out on my girlfriend's birthday this year,
March 5th.
Madden comes out the day after my wife's birthday. That's not a good thing for me either. Nope.
Well, you know what to get her, don't you?
I knew someone was going to say that going either way.
Yeah, bowling ball that says Homer on it.
Be just as effective.
That actually, if I did that, she would laugh at that. One of these days, you gave me a great idea. One of these days, I'm going to do that. She would love that.
Yeah, well, yeah, it would just be nice if I can, well, now I actually have time to play the game, I'll go get it now. So,
I mean...
But we'll see, we'll see. Maybe someone will suddenly come up with some... You know, if Amazon suddenly offers pre-order credit, like, oh, well, all right then.
Yeah. If you pre-order, you receive an Amazon-exclusive DLC code to the $75 million Diamond Dynasty bonus budget.
Oh, God, Diamond... All right, well, now I don't even... Now I don't care even less.
Yeah, you know what? What I usually do is I have a GameStop like 2 blocks from my work, so I'll just order it there and pick it up at lunch. It's kind of the best way for me.
GameStop, I don't like the. I mean, I shouldn't say I hate the idea of the XP bonus pre-order, but if it's the only thing I got, I'll take it.
Yeah.
I really, really hope, and I know I'm fighting a losing battle here, but I really, really hope that. People do buy both. They take advantage of the cross, you know, the cross play, the cross buy, because the whole concept of being able to play your game at home and on the road and have it be the same is so good. And the show is the only game that takes advantage of that. Man, I hope this does well, and I hope it helps the fortunes of the Vita, and I hope it makes the guys who make Madden and who make NHL and NBA to think, all right, you know, there is a market for this. It doesn't need to be the greatest thing ever, but I would just love for more games to take advantage of the kind of things that the show does.
Yeah.
If more games did that, like if all the sports games did that, I would be on top of the Vita so fast.
Yeah, so would a lot of people. Yeah. They really would.
And we can stop playing on the Xbox and go back to the superior system of the PS3 for the next 8 months.
Hey, it's true. I mean, you're absolutely right.
I agree.
Guys, 7 new minor league parks. How does that rub you?
I like that, because if you play Road to the Show, you're in the minor leagues a lot, and it gets boring to see the same parks every single game.
So we've gone from, like, 7 to 14 now?
I want Waterfront Park, because I got a
trend. Are these real parks?
No, they're made-up parks, though.
Okay.
Damn it.
I mean, that would be kind of cool if they got some... I mean, they could do that, I assume, right? Because they have the rights to the minor league teams.
I would guess. Well, they might have to work out the rights to the stadiums independently. Like, remember how it was like a big deal a couple years ago when Madden just got Soldier Field?
Right, yeah. Right.
And everyone went, they didn't have Soldier Field.
And, like, none of the... And, you know, the NBA or the NHL games, they don't have Madison Square Garden, for example. Yeah. It's always, like, you know, New York's arena or something like that.
Yeah, well, it's a round place with some ice in the middle.
The one thing I will say, like, in hockey, hell if I know what the different arenas look like. You never see them anyway.
Right.
It's a little bit better in the NFL, but then MLB is all about the parks because, they've all got different dimensions.
Mm-hmm. What's interesting is the NBA courts really, in the last 10 years, have gone from being very generic to very specific to the teams. And when you play NBA 2K13, you're reminded of that on a regular basis. It's kind of weird.
Who is it I saw recently has, like, the weird, like, 3D-looking pop-up logo in the end, in their...
The Toronto Raptors.
That's right. That is weird.
Oh. Threw me for a loop the first, like, 5 times until I realized it's not there. It just looks like it's there.
Guys, it's a pretty awesome paint job to do that, though.
That's what FIFA needs next year. Do you guys ever watch soccer other than Rich during the day?
Other if than you the look, World Cup, no.
If you look by the goal, they usually have like 2 ads that are standing like in the middle of nowhere. They're like 3D fake ads that aren't really there. It's just like a green thing on the floor. It's amazing. Okay.
Speaking of ad space, did I see, I was watching the NHL game, I think this past Sunday. Do they have like the green screen ad space now? Yes. Or a video screen that changes all the time?
Yeah, they do.
Cool.
That's the coolest thing in everything, right? You see an ad, but then they cut to like a different angle. It's just like, oh, there's a green screen. I love that. Guys, no more. Well, the bars are still there, but now there's actual numbers for player ratings.
I like that.
Is that not the greatest thing ever?
I guess the one thing I liked the bars for was, you know, when two players were close on that bar meter, it was easier to decide, but it seems easier, or I didn't feel as bad deciding between them, as opposed to like an 80 versus an 85.
True.
I don't know. But
Yeah, I would play a shorter bar guy over a longer bar guy, just for the heck of it.
I always like the numbers. I think they did have the numbers in, I want to say, in Road to the Show when you were like building up your own attributes.
Yeah, the individual stats had numbers, but I don't think you didn't get an overall number.
Okay, that's right. That's right.
Go ahead.
I was just gonna say I loved building up my Road to the Show guy. Like just when you get that when you bump up those attributes one by one by one, it's agony trying to choose. Well, all right, which one should I go for? Should I go for the fastball or? You know, because my fastball is dominating, but oh wait, I get like this changeup that barely got any skill to it. I know I need that. I love that.
And then wait, do I unlock a new pitch?
Oh, I never ever unlocked a new pitch. I could never wait that long to get enough points to unlock the new pitch. Way too impatient.
All right, they've rebuilt the scouting, drafting, and player development systems.
I'm excited for all this.
I am excited to put this on auto. And then go to the next screen.
All right, TJ, honestly, same here.
I mean, it's awesome. Though I say that, I will play with it a little bit. But someone actually commented, oh, you actually keep 35 people on your NCAA recruitment screen, and you look at every single one of them every week. I was like, yeah, I kind of have a little problem with that, don't I?
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
I mean, it looks cool.
If they can make it intuitive, I'm all for doing it. All
right. Dynamic budgets, so you play better. If you play better, you have more salary.
Okay, that's what I'm excited for. I'm actually going to get the Brewers some talent.
Individual training per player, so you don't just say, everybody run wind sprints. You can be like, hey, you, run wind sprints. Hey, you, take batting practice.
You know, I will say it took me a whole season to really understand and take advantage of the progress players in Madden NFL 13. But if this is kind of like that, this could be really, really cool.
And you can just set it to auto.
Are we done like managing ticket prices and promotions?
I hope not. I charge. I make some good profit on those hot dogs. Except I hate when you got to take a loan out from the bank. I always get my
plane. What I wish you could
do. You guys get the plane? You get the plane like right off the bat, right? You guys got a traveling style?
I have no clue what you're talking about. I shouldn't say that. I know that it's there, but I do. I said that's auto.
All I do is Road to the Show anyway, because I can't hit, but we've had that conversation before.
Yeah. All right. Also, players hit their prime earlier. I mean, that's kind of cool.
So the draft actually matters.
Yeah, actually, and they have a whole lot more recruit draft, what is that thing called? Scouting, I guess, sure. Count that as scouting. They've added a lot of depth to that, so you can draft better. Was there even a draft last year? I don't even remember it.
Yeah, it was there.
It was only like 5 rounds, right? And I just skipped right through them, right? So guys, Madden rates a lot of guys 99, right?
Mm-hmm.
So is this game going to also do?
How many?
Just from the screens that I've seen. And I'm pretty sure I did my research and all of these are from the actual launch roster and not like... Because in some of the screens, they were like, oh yeah, check out this screen. And then in other ones, they're like, yeah, check out the screen, but we're not telling you it's 2020. Because I was pretty surprised that a certain Mets pitcher was a 94. I was like, there's no way he should be a 94. And then I realized it was 5 years in the future. And then I realized he's a 90 to start with. Guys, Matt Harvey is not that good. Sorry, Rich. Rich, you're a Mets fan, right?
I am very much so a Mets fan.
Yeah, Matt Harvey should not be a 90, and he's going to be one. How sad is that? Remember 3-5 Matt Harvey? Had that game once. I said the Mets should trade this guy, and then every time he started from then on, a Mets fan would tweet at me.
You know, I wish I was a better Mets fan, but I've been so beaten up and dragged around by this team, I barely even know who's on their squad anymore. And then the one guy who I really did enjoy watching, they traded to Toronto.
Hmm. Interesting. I would make a joke, but I can't think of anybody else other than Ari Dickey.
That's, there's also nobody else worth watching on that team.
You know, Ike Davis, I want to see how good a guy can do when he hits 210.
Oh, Ike.
All right, so Dustin Pedroia, Clayton Kershaw, Robinson Cano, Steven Strasburg, Craig Kimbrell, Carlos Gonzalez, and Ryan Braun are all 99s.
Woo!
Scott, don't be excited about that guy that probably did something bad to become a 99.
Oh, that's right. He's in the negative light again. Ugh.
But look, Steven Strasburg is a 99. Let's just think about that one for a second.
That seems a little crazy.
CC Sabathia is a 97. I don't think Steven Strasburg should be a 99.
I agree.
Who would you rather have on your team?
I mean, it depends on what my team's made up of.
No.
Yeah, I know. I know. The answer is CC Sabathia because I need a lefty to switch it up.
Wrong. Anybody starting a baseball team today would want Steven Strasburg on their team.
I don't know.
Because he's going to be around for a while yet.
Exactly. And he's already awesome.
Let me consult Dr. James Andrews. Should I make some crazy prediction about him? Oh, I made a prediction about Johan Santana last year, and I'm pretty sure it came true. I think it was like he wouldn't start 20 games. I'm going to have to do some research on that one.
That sounds familiar to me.
Hey, Josh Johnson. You know that super pitcher, Josh Johnson?
He's good.
How good? Rich, Grisham, take a guess how good Josh Johnson is. On a scale of, say, 1 to 100, maybe stopping at 99 because no one's 100.
I feel like this is a trick question, but I'm going to say like a 94.
Wow, 96. Also, I think your guess was a little high. I think he's like a 92, maybe.
Well, the 94 is not that off.
I swear, when you get up to the 90s, how big a difference is there from like a 92 to a 94?
Exactly. Josh Johnson should be an 88.
This is why I like the bar.
Scott. You are correct. Josh Johnson should be an
88. That is the reason I was looking for earlier.
I think they did that thing Madden did, where they have too many guys rated way too high.
That is entirely possible.
Guys, Lionel Messi is the greatest soccer player in the history of the universe. His card's like an 89. Maybe a 92. I think
especially since the minor leagues are so extensive in the game, you would think there'd have to be more to differentiate players.
I mean, in the video, there were some like 47s in the minor leagues, like double-A guys. But, I mean, I can't wait to see this whole list. I mean,
that being said, they could have always had these highly rated players. We just didn't know it because there wasn't a 99 on it.
I agree. I'm not arguing that. But I feel
more reasons to just stick with the bars here.
Yeah. But I mean, this draws more discussion. We've talked about this for a bit. So I guess they've won. They've won. Johan Santana's like an 87. Rich Grisham, who would you want? Johan Santana or Josh Johnson? Both injury prone.
I would want Josh Johnson.
He's never played in Canada before.
What does that have to do with anything?
He's like an 88. Let's get serious.
Because Johnson is several years younger than Santana, and Santana's best years are clearly well behind him. I have a feeling that Johnson's best years are still in front of him.
Josh Johnson, for the record, is 29 years old. And 56 and 37 lifetime. 315 ERA. All right, you know, he's pretty good. He won 8-14 last year. Man should be an 89 at best. This is like saying, what's that guy's name? Russell Wilson, that failed second baseman. He should be a 99 in Madden next year. That's what I'm saying. You guys can. Josh Johnson.
I don't know. I don't get into roster, you know, roster tribute debates.
Me neither.
Joe Flacco +2 from the Super Bowl. He's like a 94 now. Congratulations.
I mean, I can recognize if someone is rated too high or too low, but
although I will say having a really, 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 really good quarterback on my Madden team this year does make a difference. So there is that.
Sure it does.
But
You told me not to talk about Madden. I'm sorry.
Hold on. So Steven Strasburg can never get better. What happened? How does he's going to get better? Then what's his rating going to be? 109?
100. Come on.
I'm very upset right now. Clayton Kershaw. Who would you rather have, Clayton Kershaw or Steven Strasburg? It doesn't matter because they're the same rating.
Now, TJ, you make a good point. He is only going to get better, but the game doesn't reflect that because he's already as good as he can get.
Plus, the game is going to be different next year, every year, right? It resets every year. So, you know, he's only in 99 for one calendar year, basically.
They don't...
They're not taking into account franchise mode, basically.
Well, the weekly updates that they do, those are only transaction updates and Twitter accounts, as we learned last week.
I know. I thought they did attributes eventually, too. Maybe not as frequently, but they sometimes they do those, I thought.
Scott, I believe it's attributes, and I'm pretty sure we had an episode titled that because you say it wrong.
Tomato, tomato, moving on.
Moving on. Scott, almost at the end of this great show. MLB is going to be awesome. If you haven't thought about buying it, buy it. I guess we'll talk about this one really quick. Levels of levels. Oh, Scott, you're a brilliant man. So... A lot of games haven't been saying, have come out saying, coming out on the Xbox 360. A lot of companies, not just games. Nobody's really talking about new games coming out for the Wii U, sports related wise. Also, the Vita.
Nobody who isn't Nintendo.
Yeah. Rich Grisham.
Yes.
You made a comment that I don't remember about Madden on the Vita.
It's really good.
Do you believe there will be another one?
No, I don't. I hope there is, but I don't think there will be.
That's unfortunate.
Now.
Yeah.
Let me
because, like I said, it's really good. I mean, if it were shovelware, I would be like, yeah, who cares? But I've actually
That's the
played...
3DS, Madden.
Oh, yeah. And believe me, we'll never see another one of those. But Madden was good, and then they patched it, and then it's, like, really, really good. It is PS3 Madden 11 quality. With some of the improvements for Madden 13, you know, like without the leaping linebackers and things like that. It's really an excellent game.
Now, do you think these games will ever show up on the Wii U again?
No.
Or like one more round and that's it?
Well, yeah, maybe, but it'll be very much like FIFA on the Wii or, you know, basically, and I hate to use the term, but it's accurate. There'll be reskinned roster updates, but it makes pure business sense, right? I mean, the Wii U is struggled mightily in sales. The Vita struggles mightily in sales. And the kinds of people who buy the Vita and the Wii U aren't sports fans. So what's the point? And, you know, with the 360 and the PS3 being so entrenched and with the next versions of both consoles launching in that fall sports, window, I can't see any way that the Vita and the Wii U get anything at all other than, at best, you know, the reskinned roster update.
This might have killed the Wii U for me.
Well, but see, again, for me, I don't care, right? Because as I was saying at the start, I play the Wii U, my son and I play Mario, right? And then, you know, when Rayman comes out, we'll play that. And when Mario Kart comes out, we'll play that. I mean, I use my Wii U specifically to play Nintendo games. I don't think I have a single game on my 3DS that is not a Nintendo first-party game.
Yeah, that is the same with me, I think. You know? Yeah.
So, to me, it's a non-issue. I mean, I would love it as someone who wants video games to be successful and wants more people to play them for there to be viable options on the platform for sports. But at the end of the day, you also have to be a realist. Where do people play their sports games? They play them on the 360 and the PS3, unless it's Mario Golf or Mario Tennis or things like that. And, you know, I'm okay with it, but it is, you know, upsetting as a fan of Nintendo, you know, that their platform is not doing well, and extremely upsetting as a fan of the Vita that platform is not doing well. Because unlike Nintendo... with their great first-party titles, the Vita doesn't have that same thing. And it is a perfect, perfect platform for sports games that is just dramatically underutilized.
I want to be able to buy just one console this time around. And if you could ask me to choose, like, it didn't matter. Like, if it was up to me, it would be the Wii U. And that's because it would get all the games I want on it. But that's not going to happen.
I thought we were talking about the next console generation. Oh.
Oh, burn.
All right, let me have two follow-ups to what Rich said. Actually, two follow-up questions. A, is Game Freak considered a second-party developer?
Who are they?
Those owned? They're the Pokemon.
Pokemon.
Nintendo doesn't own them, right? But Nintendo pays them to make Pokemon for the system.
Yeah, then that would be second party. Yeah,
that's amazing. That's the first one I've ever heard of, because I'm too lazy to think of any other ones. I'm sure.
I think Rare, Rare back in the day.
Naughty Dog. Sucker Punch.
I think that's a lot of what Sony has.
Right.
Smart people over there at Sony. Let me tell you the stupid part about Sony, which is kind of the follow-up to my second follow-up. Do you think when the PS4 comes out, assuming it's called the PS4, there will be tighter integration with the PS Vita, thus leading to sports developers like EA Sports coming back to do stuff for both of them?
Well, depends what you mean. Define tighter integration.
I mean, well, the way I see it is when the PlayStation 2 came out, was what, 2000? Mm-hmm. And then the PSP came out in, what, 2005? So, I mean, it didn't really have great integration with the PS2. And the PS3 came out, and then it had better integration with the PS3. And PSP. Now, yeah, the PSP had better integration with the PS3 than the PS2. And now the Vita came out early, or late to the PS3, and it'll do better with the PS4, in theory.
Well, I just finished the Steve Jobs book, the biography written by Walter Isaacson. And one of the reasons that Apple became so successful is because Sony was so inept. Sony owns lots and lots of movies, lots and lots of music, and incredible hardware. But because they are so large, they failed to put it all together. They could have created the iPod and the iPad years before Apple could. You know, Apple had to spend years and years just creating relationships with all the different musicians and you know, movie theaters and movie studios and so on. But the long story short is I came out of reading that book. What I got out of that book more than anything was the fact that Sony is a corporate disaster. So while I think it sounds great on paper, knowing what I know about Sony, they will not integrate the Vita well with the PS4, because if you look at the timetable of the PS2 to the PSP and then the PS3 and then the Vita and the PS4, it's almost like they've all been separate projects run by separate people that are only integrating at a very base level and are not integrated at a high product and concept level. So I hope they do. Because I love my Vita desperately, but I doubt they will.
Yeah. I just want my Vita to be my rearview mirror.
But the good thing is, you know, for all the doom and gloom about the Vita, I've had it since day one, and I've played it for hundreds of hours, and I will still play it for hundreds of more hours. In and of itself, it's a great little system. If it never integrates with anything and it only sells a couple more million copies, it's had a nice little run, and there's still a bunch of good games on it, and there will still be a bunch more good games on it. It could be so much more than it is.
Agreed. So how about this? February 20th, we'll talk about some PlayStation thing. How about this?
Oh, yeah.
How about this idea? The Apple PlayStation 4. What? I mean, those are two companies that could do things together.
Apple will never work with Sony. I can guarantee that.
I would have said a lot of things. Like, remember that time that Steve Jobs said no one would ever watch a video on an iPod? Hey, man. Anything's possible. Who'd have known Sony and Nintendo almost did a thing together? How'd that
work? Glad they didn't.
Well, personally, I kind of wish they had stuck together just because it all went downhill for Nintendo when that fell apart.
Actually, think about it. It could have probably been awesome.
Of course it could have.
Maybe right. Sega would still be around as a console.
First off, I need a new Dreamcast. Because that thing's the best thing ever. Guys, you know you can go to 2K Sports edition of Dreamcast?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have one. It's awesome.
I think that's the only console that has come out in the last 20 years that I don't have.
Really? It's like the best console.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
Which is why, look, this is why we need integration. Because on the Dreamcast, on my little VMU, I could play NFL 2K and pick the plays off of that.
I mean, I had it, but I quickly sold it because I was poor and I didn't like the NFL game that launched with it.
NFL 2K?
Yeah, didn't like it.
Rich Grisham.
I'm not saying I was right. I just, you know, I was poor and I didn't like it. And after 2 days, I had to make the call. I'm like, okay, you know, I either keep it or don't. And being broke and in college back then, I sold it back.
Interesting.
Never had a Dreamcast. Tell me we were still talking about the Dreamcast while I took my headset off for a second.
Yes, we were.
Okay.
I just wanted to give you that second. hey, guys.
We're talking about the NES.
Yeah. We're just talking about your dreams, Scott. We got some Twitter questions.
All right.
Carl J. Ward asks, what is your favorite, he's got an extra U in there for some reason, arcade sports game of all time? NBA Jam, NFL Blitz, NBA Street, NFL Street, NHL Hits, Bigs, you know, those games.
I don't think he's asking us to pick between those. I think he's just listing examples.
Well, I guess with that, Scott Bins.
If you're going to put me on the spot, I'm going to say NBA Jam.
Any particular version?
No, just in general. I mean, the basic 2-on-2 NBA Jam, whether that be the classic ones or the On Fire Edition new one, is just as good. But, you know, kind of the one that started it all.
True.
Yeah, I mean, the cool thing about Jam was that it was just, when it first came out, it was so funny and so different and so interesting and so over the top. But I think the game that I probably played the most is Blitz. Although I will say there was a baseball game, I don't know if it was called World Series Baseball, there was an arcade baseball game where there, back in the day, you had this little stick that you would pull back and then let go to both pitch and hit.
Oh, I remember that game.
And it had all the licensed teams, which back then was a big deal. And boy, that was one of the coolest games I ever played. I remember just spending hours and hours, you know, for little Rich Grisham, you know, spending $10 was my whole week's allowance back then. Loved playing that game. It was so cool. But of, you know, the sort of well-known arcade games, for me it's Blitz, but NBA Jam is a very close second.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think it's basically the other way around for me, and I couldn't even tell you why. But
I was thinking someone would say the Bigs. But I guess we think a little bit further back than the Bigs, huh?
Oh, I love the Bigs, though. What a great game.
The Bigs is excellent. I should play. That's what I'm jonesing for baseball. That's what I should play right now.
You know what I have here, Scott?
Nicktoons Baseball?
Yeah.
You know, the Bigs 2. Did you guys play the Bigs 2?
I did.
I did not.
That was even better than the Bigs.
Yeah, I could play it right now, except it's at my friend's house.
One of those rare sort of sequels to those kinds of games that was better. And not just a little better, actually a lot better.
I never played the first one. Or if I did, I only rented it.
The first one was great against a friend, but the single player kind of got dull after a while. The second game had a really good, interesting single player as well as, in fact, the multiplayer was pretty much the same. So it kind of depends what perspective you came from, but I love the Bigs, but I love the Bigs too even more.
You've just made me realize that I don't know where any of my Wii games are.
Because
I had the Bigs on Wii. I thought it was great there.
You know what? That's what I played it on was Wii, because I don't think I had it.
Oh,
when did the first Bigs come out?
Why would you subject yourself to that? That's like 2006, 2007, I think.
Because if the first Bigs came out in 2007,
yeah, 2007.
If it was that, yeah, that's why I subjected myself to it, because I hadn't bought an Xbox yet.
I also didn't have an Xbox. I think I might have just gotten a Wii, right?
I think when I got the Xbox, you know, I got the Xbox that fall, but I just don't think I ever bothered to go back and rent the Bigs.
Well, get the Bigs too, because you can probably pick it up like I did.
I got the Bigs too.
I mean, that might have been one of the first Wii games I got. What else came out in the Wii?
In 2007?
Were there any good Wii games, period?
Oh, yeah, plenty. I just before I came over here, I was playing Smash Bros. With my friends. Still awesome.
No, not a Smash Bros. Fan.
To each their own.
No. Super Mario Bros. Strikers and the Bigs are the only two good games ever for the Wii.
Sports games, maybe.
There were some good Tiger games on the Wii.
Oh, yeah, yeah, the Tiger Woods games. I think I still have Tiger 10 because I couldn't sell it off because it was part of the pack with the Wii Motion Plus.
Hmm. Interesting. Yeah, I have no idea what I used to play on the Wii.
Why? You know, it's really funny. Funny story.
Wii Sports?
I had a copy of NHL 2K probably 7 or 8 or 9 on the Wii. I had for review, reviewed it. And after the review was done, I gave it to my buddy at work. And he and his son, that game, even though, you know, we consider it to be ordinary or worse, that game, because all they had was the Wii, completely got his son into the NHL. His son is now a huge hockey fan 5 years later, all because we gave him that game, and they used to play like marathon game, you know, sessions of NHL 2K, whatever, on the Wii.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Makes me very happy.
That's funny. I reviewed NHL Slapshot on the Wii and wrote my review, and then I was like, here, cousin, you can have this. But that actually was a very good game.
That was a good game. I wish they made more games like that.
Yeah.
Didn't play it.
I remember when it showed up. It came in this huge box because it had.
I still got the hockey stick. Yeah,
you got the hockey stick.
Yeah, my son, you know, mangs that thing around in the basement all the time.
I wonder what I gave that game. What was it?
I like the, you know, when you play as little kids, you know, on the ice, you know, and then the mites, and then you build your character up, and then it goes up to the next level and next level.
Mm-hmm.
A very fun little mechanic, you know, again, that you don't see in games very often.
Ooh, I gave it a 2.5.
That's not right.
Out of you 5. Should be ashamed of yourself. 2.5 out of 5. That's like 50.
You're a jerk. I said I'm out of here.
That's like a Josh Johnson. Well, I mean, at $60, the game really was worth it.
I don't think it's true. That's a good point. That's a very good point.
I mean, it was a fun game. I kind of want to play it now. And now looking back, the graphics weren't terrible for that console, I guess. But who cares? Let's see. Citizen Chad says, not really a question. Well, I guess he put a question mark. I mean, read the sentence, it's not a question. NCAA 14, back of the box gimmick guesses. I mean, there's a question mark, doesn't make it a question. Not solid stuff like the Infinity Engine. Scott Mins.
I'm terrible at this stuff. I have no idea what they would try and add to the game. I never would have guessed the what was it called last year? See, I don't know what was last year. Oh, yeah, that.
All new passing game, Dynamic Dynasty, or ESPN Studio Updates? Oh, I know what the answer is.
Okay.
Rich Grisham, after you, because I don't know the name.
I'm gonna bet they're going to put in the new playoffs. So it'll be something along the lines of, you know, now it's for real or something like that.
I would consider that solid stuff because that has to, you know, that is just accurate to the game now.
Well, no, it won't be. The BCS title game still exists for another year, so I think they're going to get.
Oh, one more year. I thought, okay, yeah. Off a year.
Yeah, so I think they're going to, and this is purely guessing. I don't know this information, but I, you know, if I had to guess right now, I'd say they do something along the lines that will get people excited for the real playoffs that'll come in 2 years.
And if nothing else, if they get them in now, and then they have to stop making NCAA football games, at least the. Last
indeed.
Game,
yeah, there's a good chance this could be the last NCAA football game.
That is the saddest thing I've heard in my life.
Really?
I like NCAA football a lot more than that.
You've had a really good life. Hey, I don't want NCAA football to go anywhere, but you know.
No, I had an example of something sadder, but not even going to go there.
Let's not.
Look, the answer is all new David Pollock videos. That's what it's going to be. Maybe it'll say David Pollock is the new Evan Andrews. I'm excited. Because he is really excited to work with at EA Sports over the next couple of days on some cool stuff.
I just wish NCAA could release like 3 months before Madden does.
Yeah.
I mean, true. But it's a better game than Madden, so who cares? That's gonna wrap it up for this week.
Okay, like you like say that as an aside, like we don't all think that.
You can hit me up on. Hey, you know what you guys can do? Review us on iTunes. You know who didn't do that? Pete Dodd. So someone yell at Pete Dodd.
I thought someone did review us on iTunes though. Did I?
Have you been listening to Pete Dodd's show the last couple of weeks? By the way,
let me tell you something. I cried
It's unbelievable.
I almost cried in the Wendy's drive-thru listening to Pete Dodd's podcast.
Unbelievable.
I haven't listened to the new one. Don't tell me. Is it him alone again? Because I'll cry.
Do you want to know?
I just want to know if it's him alone or someone.
It is. It is.
Oh, God, that's awesome. I love Pete Dodd. For your...
FYI.
That's what the website is, or it's FYFY? Yeah, FYFY.com. For the, for your...
for your information.
That's what it is, right? No, it's for...
Yeah.
What's the podcast called? It's called For Your FYI, right?
Yeah. But it stands for your information. Yeah.
Yeah. The website's FYFYI, and the podcast is For Your FYI. And he has a really great exit song, which is kind of awesome because you could hear the embarrassment of him announcing the song at the end of one of the podcasts.
It is so bad. It is so bad.
I love it.
So, so, so bad.
I'm only being quiet because I don't even know what we're talking about anymore.
You don't want to know.
Well, that's, you know why? Because Scott doesn't listen to podcasts. He's not on.
And he was, I okay. do
he was
too.
Not on the Pete Dodd-cast we did.
I listen to Press Row. Oh, wait, I've been on Press Row, haven't I?
Yeah.
But I mean, you don't listen to the episodes that you're not on.
Yes, I do.
All right. Yeah, go rate and review us on iTunes. And then while you're there, subscribe to For Your FYI. And then tell Pete Dodd at For Your Pete Dodd that he should review That Sports Gamer Show on iTunes.
Yes.
And also you can review Press Row Podcast on iTunes.
That's right.
That's where you can find Rich Grisham. On Twitter, you can find me at ThatSportsGamer. Scott Vins, where can they find you?
At Darth Obvious.
Rich Grisham.
At Rich Grisham.
Scott. Darth Obvious, man.
Yeah, we did that. We did mine already.
I know, but I was thinking, oh, Rich has his real name. And then I was like, wait, ThatSportsGamer? Not my real name. and you can be a fan of us on Facebook at facebook.com/thatsportsgamer. You know, I always read through this whole list. If you just go to thatsportsgamer.com, down on the right-handy side, there's a little thing that says, like, on the internet. And you can find all sorts of links to stuff. Twitch.tv/thatsportsgamer. What? You want to watch me play Foot or watch me play way too much Black Ops? Guys, also youtube.com/blackxworm. That guy has the best Call of Duty camping videos. He's a professional camper. It's amazing. Scott Binns, you got anything else you want to plug?
I got nothing.
All right. Rich Grisham, are you on the internet anywhere else?
I am. You mentioned the Press Row podcast. Thank you very much. That is every 2 weeks through our friends at Operation Sports. We have also started a brand new video show called the Press Row Hangout, which features myself and Brian Weedeye, otherwise known as Pasta Padre. That's also every 2 weeks on the off weeks when the Press Row show is not releasing. And also, believe it or not, the Fourth String show has returned. We recorded our first episode in many months just a couple days ago. Todd Zuniga, the man himself, actually.
No. Adrian.
Yeah, Adrian
Todd Zuniga. I'm sorry.
At.
Still have.
I believe his name is At.
I'm having a very hard time with this. But one of the reasons people have asked me why has the show been dormant, you know, one of the reasons is because it was Mike Suzek, Ryan Lewis, and I for a long time. But really, truly, it is Todd's show, and we wanted to have Todd on it. And long story short, Todd was able to come on, and hopefully it can become a normal thing again because he's a busy man. We're all busy people. He's making television shows and movies, and we're all doing our thing. But anyway, long story short, check it out. It's a lot of fun.
You know what? It's his fault. If it wasn't for him, this wouldn't be happening right now.
It's true.
Yeah. He like invented sports video game podcasts.
Yeah, I mean, to be completely frank, you're right. I mean, the Press Row podcast, which has been an unbelievable success. I still am shocked every time I look at the numbers. Wouldn't exist if it weren't for me being asked to be on the Fourth String show a year and a half ago. And it wouldn't exist if it weren't for Todd starting the Sports Anomaly. This show, Sports Gamer, That Sports Gamer would not exist. You know, all those things. It's amazing. So we all
I think every sports video game podcast I can think of has descended out of yeah. out of the Sports Anomaly.
He is the that guy of podcasts.
He is.
That football coach, whose name I don't know. He's the
and
Bill
Meanwhile, and the funniest thing of all is he's going to get rich and famous making a TV show about books and literature. Yeah. Figure that one out.
Man of many talents.
Indeed, and scarves.
I wonder if Scott Binns even knows how we started talking. Scott Binns, how did we start talking?
We were in the Madden League, didn't you? You had heard me on Anomalyleaguers.
I came on Anomalyleaguers.
You were on
Scott Binns, and I was like, I like this Scott Binns. I don't know about these other guys. Scott, what are you doing?
You know, Jeff listens to us.
Man, I don't know about that. That could not be true. If he does, Jeff Solomon, let me direct you to iTunes. Look up That Sports Gamer Show. Write us a nice little review. That'd be great. I mean, he should, because I'm pretty sure I reviewed Anomalyleaguers. So, payback.
It all comes down to the fact that we're all one big happy family.
Yeah. Yes.
We got to stand up for our sports gaming people.
That's right.
I guess we're done. Scott, you got anything else?
I still have nothing. Just like, just like you asked me 5 minutes ago when I thought we were wrapping this thing up.
We were, and then Rich sent me a message about something I was already saying. Rich, anything else?
Nope, that's it. Thanks for having me on. I always love being on the show.
So, how do you say this dude's name? Pasta Padre's last name?
Brian Weedye.
So, I thought that was a joke.
No, it's not. That's how you say it. I actually had to re-record the outro for the show because he corrected me, very nicely corrected me after I introduced him the first time. But then my pre-recorded outro, I realized 3 shows after he had joined, still had the wrong pronunciation.
Oh, I'm going to have to go back and listen to one of those now.
I always thought it was like Weedly.
I always thought it was Weedy, and that's how I introduced him. Then after the 3rd show, he sent me a note. He's like, by the way, just so you know, the name is pronounced Weedye.
There's no L in there, huh?
No, there's no L. I don't know where you got that from.
One of them things.
I bet it gets mispronounced all the time.
Oh, that's what he said. He's like, it's always mispronounced. But since he's a regular member on, since he's a regular member on the show, he was, like I said, very nicely, just like, you know, it'd be nice if you could actually pronounce it correctly.
Hmm. You don't have to.
One of my friends likes to refer to him as Carbohydrate's father. All right. Scott, are you actually going to be around next week? Oh, you know what? We lied. Scott's here. Hey. Pretty sure last week we said Scott wasn't going to be here.
Yeah.
If you didn't know, Scott's here this week.
Plans change.
All right. So, Scott, you good?
I like how I've been here for an hour and a half. And you still read out like I've been gone.
I forgot. Well, because I was just thinking, we wrapped up last week saying you wouldn't be here.
We did.
All right. Are we good?
I just elected not to reference. Can we be done now?
All right. Rich, you good?
I'm good. Thank
Anything
you.
Else? Nothing else? You sure?
Nothing else. That's
at
all I got.
Press Row Podcast.
Help us out. Go check it out.
Sure. All right. Then for Scott and Rich, I'm TJ, and we'll see you next week on another edition of That Sports Gamer Show.